Luke chapter 2, we're going to begin with the first verse. Now it came about in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Cornelius was governor of Syria. And all were proceeding to register for the census, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. It came about that while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in the manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flocks by night. An angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there's been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom God is pleased." And it came about when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." They came in haste and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. And when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about the child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. Let's pray. Thank you, Father. Even though we hear this story every Christmas, it still has so much meaning and so much wonder. It's so pleasant to the ears. We do thank you that you showed your love to us by sending a Savior. And I ask, Father, that during this holiday season, we would spend our time rejoicing in the hope of the salvation that you have sent to man in Jesus Christ. Help us to be like the shepherds and spread this good news among those who are focused on other things, that during this time they would also understand the joy of the hope of salvation, and that they would not neglect this salvation, but would trust you and serve you with all their heart, their soul, their mind, and their strength. Teach us as we continue to study this morning, Father, for it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. All right, so this morning we are going to discuss the second concept in the true meaning of Christmas. This is our second session this year, and next week we will wrap up these thoughts about the Messiah and what Christ has done for us. Last week we explored how man had disobeyed God, and because of that disobedience received the just condemnation of eternal damnation. So all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. No one deserves to enter into the presence of God or to be a part of the family of God. And therein lies the greatest difficulty of man. Since only innocent human blood could atone for the sins of man, in and of ourselves, we have no option for paying the debt of our sin except eternal damnation. So this is quite a bind. This is a big problem. However, God in his infinite mercy expressed his eternal love toward mankind by providing a sacrifice for sin. Instead of our death, God chose to send his Son into the flesh, who lived in obedience to God, which we could not do, and died and shed his blood in our place, so that anyone who will trust in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and turn away from their sin and confess Jesus as Lord is by living ever for the purpose of God, we can have life. And that's what the Christmas story is all about. When we celebrate Christmas every year, and it's not about the gifts that are given, it's not about a tiny baby stuck in a manger, it's not about angels singing to shepherds, all those things are well and good, but it is that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. This is our hope at Christmas. So let's look at this gift that was given to us on the first Christmas. So last week, we became guilty. We saw how we were in need of salvation. This week, God gives us the gift of the perfect sacrifice. Verse 1. It came about in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This is the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all were proceeding to register for the census, everyone to his own city. So, when man sinned and fell short of the glory of God, God provided a plan for their salvation. And in that plan, in eternity, God had everything mapped out already. And as the people of God unfolded in the Old Testament, if that's the way you want to word that, the prophets began to foretell about a Messiah who was going to be born, and specifically that this Messiah was going to be born in Bethlehem. So a very, very specific location. And as God can use any agent he wishes to accomplish his plan, God moved the emperor